What's up, everyone, and welcome back to our Slab Stocks Sundays episode here on the Slab Stocks YouTube channel. While we are looking at PWCC weekly auction number 114, with a massive baseball card auction ending tonight, just 4 days out of opening day in the MLB season. We got Julian in the house. He was gone last week. Unfortunate end of March Madness. Didn't want to see him here this week, honestly, once again, but we are stuck with him and stuck with the Badgers team eliminated by James Madison.
Yeah, I'm surprised I got the call back after the job Andrew did. So I'm happy to be here. As you said, I mean, I'm happy to be here with you, but I'm also kind of sad that we're not didn't make it a little bit farther. But what can you do? The Badgers,
Not to mention, I think we might have gotten absolutely destroyed by Duke, considering they ripped James Madison apart for like 30 points. So not great. Not great. Pretty bad look.
I think we could have competed. I just think we played – I think any team in the top 40 or 50 in the country would have absolutely destroyed James Madison. Yeah, like they did not play good against us. We just played like shooting like 15% for the first like half. Like, I don't understand how that's possible.
It was brutal. And then that was such a tough watch, man. We were yelling at the TV and stuff. I'm sure you being there was even worse. And then – watching Texas the next night, dude, they turned over more than Wisconsin turned it over. I couldn't – back-to-back nights of brutal basketball, though that game got close. But, Wiz Cubby's right. Esegun is transferring. Julian is very sad about that right now. He's got in a little bit of a bummed-out mood because that was added on top of the loss. But he didn't play it all this year, so I'm sure he wants to play basketball.
Yeah. It was expected, and nobody can fault him for it. But, man, he's a great guy, a great player. Super impressed with how he handled this year, considering he like didn't play at all. He was still a great teammate, one of the first guys off the bench, and he always brought the great energy. So I'm hoping the best for him. I hope he goes to a really good team and kind of proves everybody – well, not even proves anybody wrong. I think most people think he's super capable, but like proves everybody right. There you go. How about that?
How about proves Greg Gard wrong? I'll say that. I'll speak. I know you don't want to say it, but I'll speak for myself and you know.
Yeah. I mean, you make a good point.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it is a bummer that he's gone. But you know, it's crazy though. Last year to this year, pretty big fall off playing time and points. So we move on though. What's up, Kenny? What's up, Real Music and Peg Junk? We got a great episode on the way because we have got a guest tonight. We've got a guest indeed, and you've seen him before. You know who he is. I'm going to bring him right now. Vinny, Down on the Farm Prospects, is in the house with us tonight. Vinny, thanks for the surprise appearance tonight, man.
No problem. How's everyone doing, man? We got baseball right around the corner. 4 days. 4 days till opening day. I'm so excited.
Man, it's a pretty crazy time out there because we're in the midst of obviously roster cuts happening and finding out who's going to be on the big league roster or not. So it's actually perfect timing for you to be here as you just got back from the spring breakout games. They're down in Arizona. We're interested to hear about that because this is the first year it's ever happened. And then we also want to talk about the baseball card market in regards to these players making the roster or not and what you're seeing out there, plus some of your predictions for the season. So why don't we start right now? Just with
Aaron, I gotta butt in real quick before you guys go off because obviously you know a lot more about baseball than I do, but I did see the Brewers killed the Diamondbacks today, so confirmed to the World Series.
Dude,
that's all I had to say.
It was awesome. Adames had 3 home runs and Yelich had a great game too. It was awesome to see. But Vinny, let us know about the spring breakout stuff. I mean, first time ever, what was it like? Do you think it was good for baseball? Do you think it was worth the addition and hyping it up? I feel like there got a lot of hype behind it. But I didn't really see too much coverage myself just because I'm probably not reading the right sources. So I want to hear from you then.
Yeah, it was actually really fun talking to some of the guys that were in the games. Like, they enjoyed it a lot because it brings everyone together. Like, not only are you playing with, you know, the low A guys, the high A guys, it's everyone. So, like, triple A guys are, you know, coming together with low A guys, making connections, you know, friendships, stuff like that. And you're getting a very good sense of what your future is going to look like. Because the end all goal of these breakout games is to prepare these guys for what the majors are going to look like. And they put them into an environment where it's almost like a simulation of what they're going to be experiencing in the minors. Like, you had 18-year-old Nelson Rada playing for the Angels against a 24-year-old AAA pitcher. Like, you wouldn't see that any other year in spring training besides, you know, maybe he gets an at-bat late on one of these near the end of spring training games. Like, it was pretty cool. Talking with some of the people covering the breakout games, the original plan of it was it to be a round-robin tournament, and the winner gets an extra first-round pick. So I don't know if they're going to adapt that later, but that was the original, like, consumption of this breakout. And then teams, they backed off on that. I don't, you know, it is risky playing a tournament with prospects, you know, especially, you know, you don't want to risk injury. But that was the original goal, and I'm interested to see how they tweak stuff going into next year.
That's kind of crazy to think that you could get a first-round pick for winning that type of tournament. But, you know, you talked about speaking to people covering the event. Do you think that these games specifically had a large bearing, if anything, on kind of where these players are maybe starting the season for these minor league orgs, or, like, they're standing in the minor league organizations? Like, do you think it was worth it from a perspective of doing it?
Yeah, this opened a lot of eyes to different parts of, like, team systems. Like I said, you usually don't see these low A guys go against AAA guys. And you saw, to name a few, like, Hector Rodriguez did good in the Reds Rangers breakout camp. We saw Felnin Celestin yesterday play in his breakout game. Like, it puts more eyes on these kids that I don't think you would see even if they were in, like, low A or high, like, the earlier parts of their journey to the big leagues. You know, there's guys that some of these guys are even going to start, like, rookie ball next year. So it, you got to see how these guys work in a big league, almost high stress environment, which is very interesting, especially for, like, these 17, 18, 19 year olds who just came out of the draft or who just came from, you know, the Dominican or Venezuela. Like, you can kind of start painting a picture of what to expect for this year to come.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially because, like you said, most of the time it's like people see tweets of these guys. We don't always see them, like, all together, you know, with reporters there and everything like that. So that's cool to hear. Thanks for sharing that. And just one quick thing. Is there a, like, certain player in your eyes that you talked to or you saw that you're just, like, really impressed with before we jump into some of these cards on tonight?
Yeah, actually, I spent a few different – I was out in Arizona for 5 days. So I covered, you know, 2 breakout games a day. I did the backfields for a few organizations. The biggest standout to me is probably Brock Wilkin of the Brewers. I know you love the Brewers. This isn't a homer thing, but I was not a fan of Brock Wilkin coming out of the draft last year, in all honesty. Like, if you go back and check all of my rankings of that, I was not a fan of him. I saw him this spring training, and I don't think I've been more impressed of a player that I've seen so far this year than Wilkin. Wilkin is, he's pretty much the college version of Kobe Mayo. That's what I've come to the conclusion of. Like, the power is stupid easy, good feel for hit, very good defensively, and then he even showed out in the limited opportunities the Brewers gave him with his spring training games. Like, he's slated to start in Double A this year, but I would not rule out seeing him at some point in either August or September.
In the MLB?
Yeah.
Is he an outfielder?
He is a third baseman.
Okay, well, that's the perfect situation then for us. You know, trade one of the other outfielders and get him in that third. And, you know, that's awesome. Wow, that's good to hear. We got. Was he drafted last year?
Yes, he was drafted last year. I want to say he was 18th overall.
So he'll be in 24 Bowman then?
He is one of the big names in 24 Bowman.
So I have no ability to buy Brewer spots in Bowman is what you're saying. Not for cheap. Not for cheap, at least.
Brewers might have a very stacked 24 Bowman class. I don't know all the names yet, but they're going to be one of the hot teams to chase.
That's awesome. And I love hearing that. What does that do for Tyler Black though?
I don't know. Cause he can still play second base. Self Relic is playing third, but he can always move to the outfield. Weimer was the odd man out and got optioned back to AAA. So
as expected,
I don't know. I feel like you guys, the Brewers are definitely going to make a move either before the deadline for something. If you guys are competing, there's no way you keep all those outfielders.
Yeah, there's too much talent for too little roster spots, and Rhys Hoskins is on like a 1 to 2 year deal, and I know people have been talking about Tyler Black possibly at first base too, maybe. So maybe there's a spot opening up at some point for him. But let's use that to segue into these items in tonight's auction, and we'll start here with Jackson Chourio. We got more prospects and stuff to get down to, but he's starting the year on the opening day roster, and I think last time we talked here, you were kind of 50-50 on if he was going to or not, but officially made it. And should be starting, it seems, in right field with Mitchell in center.
Yeah.
So so that is officially now. He's the youngest player in the MLB. He signed the most expensive contract in the MLB history for a player that hasn't debuted in an MLB game yet. How much pressure is applied to his situation? And also being in Milwaukee, is it better than him being elsewhere?
I will say, I think you got a little preview of how much pressure he's feeling with all of his at-bats with the big league club this spring training. He's zero pressure. He's playing just like if he was still playing in the minor leagues. It's kind of funny how this has unfolded. He is now put into the best position to win Rookie of the Year. You had the Marte suspension. You had Lawler go down to AAA with the Diamondbacks. You have Pete Crow Armstrong optioned also to AAA. I don't believe Yamamoto is going to do it. He would have to win the Cy Young to win Rookie of the Year, and that's not going to happen. Jung Ho Lee, I don't think he doesn't have the power to beat Chourio in Rookie of the Year. Like, Chourio is set up to have a massive 2024, and I don't think it matters what team he's on if if he actually performs even like 60% of what he's done so far in the minors. Like, he is probably going to be the most fun guy to watch in the National League, and then, not to hint towards it later, but the AL is going to be an absolute, absolute just mess when it comes to prospects.
And Rookie of the Year and stuff like that. I can't wait for this season, man. I just bought my opening day tickets. My mom and I are going on next Tuesday. Once he got the call up to Major Leagues, I said there's no way that I'm missing his debut. I couldn't do that. Do you see that goal, Julian? Or did I spoil that?
Spoiler.
Oh, no.
You didn't see it? I just saw it. It just happened.
That was a banger. Wow. From Tyler Adams, I think, right? USA's took the lead in the Nations League final. Yeah. Wow, what a goal. But go ahead.
Yeah, and the whole Chourio thing is crazy because I texted you. I was in the backfields on, I think, Thursday or Friday, and Blake Perkin comes walking out of the facility with an arm wrap on his wrist. And I'm like, huh, that's really interesting. And then who comes running out right behind him going to take BP with Willy Adames and Gary Sanchez, Jackson Chourio. So, you know, I've always been bullish on him breaking the year in the majors. And I think his luck definitely caught up to him, and he's gonna be really fun to watch.
I can't wait. It's something to look forward to after like last season's really brutal end of the season, and I'm very happy that Council's going. I understand he's on your team now, but you can, you know, deal with whatever comes with that. But I mean, just from like last year to the start of this year, I really thought I was gonna go into this year just like really sad and all this stuff, and then we signed that massive contract with him, and it all kind of started turning around after that. Got Rhys Hoskins in the door, so I'm excited. All right, next prospect up on this. And also, by the way, everyone, it's a Bowman Chrome Gold First PSA 10/10 auto at $7,250 pre-buyer's premium. This is likely going to touch over $10,000, I imagine. It's going to be at $9,000 with the next bid. Extended bidding started already. It's 9:30 is the first closing window, 9:30 Central. So great card here. If any big spenders want to, you know, grab one for their collection. If I could own this card, it'd be amazing. The gold with blue there is such a cool card. But next guy up, the other Jackson. Okay, so this 1-2 in the prospect rankings going into the season is Holiday and Chourio. You can almost call it 1A, 1B, I felt like, where they just kind of kept on flip-flopping, you know, with people's thoughts on them. But Holiday does not break camp. Talk to me about the service time thing. I thought that was kind of extinct. You know, like when Walker and Volpe started the year in the big leagues, I thought that people didn't really care about that anymore.
Yeah, the Holiday case is very interesting. Everyone thought out of him, Langford, and Chourio, Holiday was going to be the one to break camp. And that seems to not happen. It was the complete opposite. he was good in spring training, but you could definitely see he had problems. He definitely had problems like reading pitches.
The lefty hitting, right? The lefties, he couldn't hit lefties,
yeah, I heard. Lefties and breaking balls really messed him up. Like, he didn't help himself either with the breakout game, but he did have that really hard line out. But, like, you can definitely see he's not there yet. Like, they have other guys on that roster that I think will contribute more right away than I think Jackson Holliday would right now. Like, Jordan Westberg, they used a first-round pick on him in 2020. He's probably going to get a lot of time. Gunnar, you can't move Gunnar Henderson yet. Colton Cowser made the roster today. So it's like they're probably – you're looking at maybe a month, I would say, down in the minors for Holliday. A little longer than that, I'd get a little concerned. But, yeah, like he was the one everyone wanted up, and the Orioles just said no. They got to wait. So it'll be interesting. The Orioles in general, you're going to have a wave there of like Kobe Mayo, Holliday – Chase Dermott, like there's going to be a nice little wave coming up in Baltimore this year.
Well, there already was last year and the year before that too. So what do they do, man? They got too many guys.
They do. And yeah, man, like you also have, you have Mullins in the outfield. You have Heston Kerstad, who was also optioned to AAA. So it's going to be, you might see some of these guys moved. It's not going to be Holliday by any means, and I don't think Mayo, but Keston Hurstad or Kajurstad or
Hurstad. I'm
messing it up right now, but he's, you could potentially maybe see him moved even before the deadline for.
And he was the first overall pick in, or second overall pick in 2021, right?
Yeah. 2020.
2020. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's. It is very interesting to watch. Like, their whole entire situation is they spent maybe too much money a couple years ago, not expecting these guys to blow up and develop as quick as they thought. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch his market going forward, especially as the time grows he's in the minors.
Got it. You know, honestly, like, I'm interested to see tonight. Like, I feel like his market just got so hot so fast that – it all heated up to the point to where now that he's not starting the majors, does it like take a little cool down? Cause the expectations were maybe that he was going to. So I think that you're kind of going to see the two differences between him and Lankford here in the next week. And we'll talk about Lankford next. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a top rated prospect for a reason, and we'll see what happens with him going forward. And the Orioles as well. I do want to pull up Jim's comment though. He said, did you guys take over 89.5 on the Orioles for wins? I don't sports bet, but Vinny, I mean, they had over 100 wins last year, right? Like,
I would. That was, yeah, they had that before getting Corbin Burns. So,
yeah, exactly.
That's an easy hammer the over.
Yeah, even just for me looking at that, it seems like that'd be a crazy over not to take. So, Real Music says, who's the number one prospect this year, Vinny?
Well, oh man, it's gonna be Holliday until he gets until he comes up, and then it's like a handful of guys like Kobe Mayo, Colson Montgomery, Dylan Cruz. Like there's that top like 10. Any of those guys could potentially propel themselves into the first overall pick or first overall prospect spot. It's just we still gotta wait and see who graduates and who gets out to a hot start.
And last year, all the rage was on Junior Caminero before his call-up. And I don't think he did too much, right, when he got called up last year. So does he kind of have to rekindle that fire this year going into the MLB season? Or is he starting in AAA or in the majors?
He's starting in AAA. And they came out really early and said, Junior Caminero's not breaking camp. Don't get excited. That was like the third or fourth week of spring training. Hmm. They had Jonathan Aranda just go down with a broken finger. He has to get surgery. And, you know, they're going to have to shift. They're going to have to shuffle up that infield. You have another guy down right now with an injury also. So it's looking like maybe there is a potential for him to come up early, but they are very adamant of letting him sit down in AAA. That could be something they saw this spring training or in the off season, or there might be something they need to really work on with his bat. But that, for them to come out that early, there definitely is something to look out for. but Caminero at his peak is easily a top 10 shortstop or third baseman wherever they throw him. Like his athleticism and his bat is just nuts.
Right. Yeah, got it. Someone who I feel like lost some luster, James Wood. What's going on with him? Because he's obviously with the Nationals now. He's in the Soto trade. Is the luster still there? Is it gone? You know, we got Blue Auto sitting at 1,400 right now about.
Before spring training, yeah, it felt like everyone was starting to gain some prospect fatigue on Woods. He came out and hit, I think he ended the spring training with 4 or 5 home runs. Like,
okay.
And one of them, they were all high exit velocities, like 110s, 112s, 113s. Like, they were absolutely destroyed. It's still a 50-50 toss-up. Like, he's probably going to be a corner outfielder. There's still, you know, a strikeout concern. Big K's with him. But he did show pretty good plate discipline in his limited appearances in spring training. But, like, this is one of the guys that has the tools to be the number one overall prospect. If he gets out to a hot start and shows improvement with the K's, like, he could easily solidify himself and jump other guys. Like, it's one of those high upside bats.
Got it. Hank says snow day tomorrow. Hank, that's crazy. It snowed a little bit here, but to get a snow day, what is it, just like a foot up there? That's wild.
But also, snow days, do they really, like, they don't exist in the way that they did, because I'm sure he's got Zoom and stuff. Yeah. True snow days, like, nothing, there'll never be like a true snow day again, which is sad.
Yeah, snow days are extinct. Those are gone.
The snow days hit different as a kid, I tell you that much. not a prospect here, but Bobby Witt Jr., I feel like, is getting so much buzz going into the season after the end of the season he had last year. You know, he kind of started off in a little bit of a slump first half of the year, went off at the end of last year, signs that contract with the Royals. How do you see that affecting his card market specifically? Like, are the Royals going to be competing anytime soon?
They spent a lot of money this offseason on veteran pitching, which really doesn't thread the needle for me. But again, with Witt, you're talking about a very charismatic, very open, very public figure on top of how good he is on the field. Like, he's a people person. Like, he loves fans. He's also into cards. He loves, you know, cards now too. So I think he's one of these rare cases that I don't think the team around him's really going to matter. Like, his personal connection to fans and other things are going to help drive his market. That's why we're seeing it, I think, take a big boost. Because last year was like, wasn't an amazing year, but it was still a good year for Witt, but not for what he was being hyped up for the past, I don't know, four years. The Royals have to eventually start putting pieces around him. They've drafted a couple decent guys, but they're still really far away. So he's in an interesting spot with the Royals, but as a figure for the game and for sports cards and everything like that, he is still one of the top dogs.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it really does seem like that, and the excitement. You know, I just pulled a Dynasty patch autograph of him the other day, and I think for that one, more than almost any of them that I pulled, people were excited about. You know, I really think that he does seem to have that fan base now, which can be like kind of transcends the wins and the losses, which not every player can do. Not many players actually can do, honestly. So it's impressive.
And his market in Kansas City, it's like him and Patrick Mahomes run Kansas City. Like, if it's not Patrick Mahomes, if you're asking kids who their favorite Kansas City player is, it's either him or Kelsey. Like, that's how big of an influence he is on to Royals baseball and even Kansas City and the Missouri and everything, like the area.
Yeah, super cool. Super cool. I love it. All right. Here's a guy actually who has talked about gaining a lot of steam, dude. He was not, I mean, people liked him coming out of 2023 Bowman. I know it was always like, oh, Roman Anthony could be good, but he went from like here to like here within one season.
Yeah. I'm going to toot my own horn here because I get so many messages now. When I first appeared on Slab Stocks on the podcast with Jimbo and Nate breaking down the checklist for 2023, Roman Anthony was like my buy. Like, I don't care what his price is coming out, and I didn't care what his stats were. Like, the year before, they were horrible, but the tools outplay stats. I get so many DMs or, you know, just random messages like, oh my, I listened to that. And you know what? That was like the best call I've heard out of the whole entire checklist. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's, you just got to look at tools, guys. Don't read too much into stats. Like, once you start breaking down guys, you can kind of tell what stats are inflated and what the actual player's tools are. 50% of the time, guys with good stats, they fizzle out right when they hit higher competition. But Roman Anthony, he's going to be... I love Kyle Teal, who was a draftee this year for the Red Sox, more than I like Roman Anthony. But Roman Anthony is easily consensus top 15 prospect in baseball. And depending on how long they keep Devers, he could easily be the next face of the Red Sox. Like, you're talking about a young kid with a plus hit, plus power, and actually has good wheels with solid defense. And a lefty hitter in Fenway is... Him and Teal are going to do some damage when they get up to Fenway. Potentially this year, but I think it's more next year.
Okay, next question quick. What do you see happening with Jerome Montgomery? He's probably like the last big free agent not signed, right? Scott Boras' client, I think. If or is I'm he not?
Yeah, it's him, like Noah Syndergaard, a bunch of like very prominent injured pitchers are still on the market.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, like the rumor around Montgomery right now is that he's waiting for spring training or for opening day to happen before he signs.
Why?
Which is very weird. I don't ever recall that being a player's like
desire. Yeah, let me be jobless for longer.
Yeah, I think he's just waiting for a big injury. Like, I'm surprised the Yankees haven't jumped on him with the whole Gerrit Cole thing. I'm not surprised that Jed Hoyer and the Cubs haven't jumped in with Jameson Taillon starting on the DL to start the year. But it's going to be probably the first big injury you see, or if we get more news on Gerrit Cole, he's going to be gone like that.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. And wait, you mentioned Devers. You think he's going to get traded or what?
I don't know, because he's made it very public how much he does not like the front office in Boston.
not good.
Very apparent. Like, he already, his whole entire spiel coming to spring training this year was, we were supposed to get help for everyone. You know, we were supposed to get players to help us, and the front office didn't get players to help us. So there's already dialogue starting for a potential exit of Devers at some point.
Got it. Well, that's not good. But Wyatt Langford, finally, we get to Wyatt Langford, which seems to be the hottest name in all of the probably baseball talk and card talk now at this point. You know, Sapphire Auto here is over $1,000 already. These things were just around $900, and before that, $700 as of a month ago. He's breaking camp less than a year after getting drafted. What is the word on Langford out of spring training?
I will tell you this. After watching like his first couple weeks in spring training, I would have told you him breaking camp was a pipe dream. He looked horrible. He started hitting home runs and just looked like a completely different player, which that's why at Langford, like, if you watch him all last year at Florida, he just game time, he turns it on. I saw his grand slam against the Reds in person last Thursday. The sound off of that kid's bat, I don't think I've ever heard before. Like, the pop and the power he possesses is nuts. Like, him and Evan Carter in an outfield is not fair to the rest of not only the AL, but I think baseball.
That is an insane young tandem. How crazy is that?
It's ridiculous. And on top of that, you still have, like, they still have Sebastian Walcott coming up. They still have Brock Porter. Like, they still have big prospects coming up, and we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg with Langford and Carter.
And they won the World Series last year.
Yeah. And you know, not to get over excited, but like, you win Rookie of the Year, your team wins Rookie of the Year, you get an extra first round pick. Now you have two people who are up for the Rookie of the Year with Carter and Langford.
Wait, you're telling me that you're telling me you get a first round pick for having
a team? You get a CBA after the first round pick for winning rookie of the year now.
Why?
I don't know. They changed that up. It's to promote you developing a farm system. So it's to incentivize you to really develop prospects.
Shouldn't you want to do it anyways to have a good team?
Yeah. If that was the case, we'd be seeing some playoff baseball in Oakland. So I guess it has to be done now.
That's so weird, man. That's really odd. Like, I did not know that, but good information. Thanks for sharing that. So I think last thing here to touch. Let's talk about this, and then we'll jump into a couple of your predictions for the season. But here's an Ohtani card. I got to bring it up, man. We've all read the tweets. We've all read the news. If you haven't read the news, make sure you go read a full article on this. The story switched 5 times from not only his translator, but it seems like his legal team too. What is going on, and what can we expect to see this season from any sort of MLB investigation that's now opened an FBI investigation as well?
Honestly, I've tried to follow it for the past couple days, and it seems like right when I get a grasp on it, something new comes out and totally changes the narrative. The only thing I do know is that we will be getting a press conference from Ohtani tomorrow. If I'm not mistaken, the MLB is investigating this, but they haven't gone into any more details on top of that. But I think once we get the press conference with Ohtani tomorrow, I think we're going to start getting some answers. If we see in like the next couple of days that Manfred's getting involved, I think we need to start being very cautious. But besides that, it's so hard to follow, and I don't know. Like, I can't. It's getting hard now to like separate the speculation from the fact. So I'll wait until we get a more clear picture before I start overreacting on Ohtani stuff.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing. And in the end, like, you know, I've read a lot about it and like have all my thoughts on it. Probably not wise for me to share them here on live stream.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like FBI already started investigating that illegal bookmaker, which is why this has already come out in the first place. And then that will be open up an investigation, which can we ever be really too confident when a league opens up an investigation? Not really. But the FBI is involved. So I think all the facts will likely come out at some point. How long? We don't know, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess, in the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing though, is like, I mean, I know Carver Collaborative said like they're not going to cook the golden goose regardless of what like comes out and punishments. There's no way he didn't know, like, regardless of what happened, there's no way he doesn't know like what happened or what was going on before the fact.
I'd say for my own take, I would also have to agree that it's very difficult to have all that happen with knowing absolutely zero. But we'll leave it at that probably and keep moving on. All right, I'll read off Pappy's comment. We'll see what he says. I'll say it because y'all can't. There's one account that keeps posting the games he got Sheldon. Big bets were made with the same bookie. Oh, boy. Well, in the end, that would be maybe a speculation play. But
it's all speculation.
Also, very interesting coincidences to keep track of going forward. So, Pat, thanks for the comment. And
wasn't the bookie was like 25 or something, 24? If that's true, that's kind of funny.
In the end, we'll have to figure out after this investigation what all has happened. But Vinny, give me your, like, I don't know if it's 5-3, whatever predictions for this season, just like some bold takes, some things that might happen this year in baseball, either in MLB or in minor leagues to leave us off here tonight. Man.
I think I already touched on one. I think we can almost lock in Churio for rookie of the year for the NL. I don't see anyone coming up and challenging him. He can pretty much run away with it. Maybe Jackson Merrill enters the conversation, which he was a surprise. He was definitely a surprise for making the camp with the Padres.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't expecting it.
I think this is the year I think we see the Orioles go on a huge run, maybe even to the World Series. I don't know if they win it, but I think we see at some point this year the Orioles and the Rangers battling in the ALDS, which Could you imagine an ALDS where it's Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday, maybe even Kobe Mayo versus Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter?
Yeah, it'd be super, super fun. That would
absolutely fly up. That'd be ranking galore for TV.
Here's a good one from Pat. Any rookie pitcher breakouts, some young guys making rosters?
Making rosters? No. The only one I would say is Drew Thorpe. There's still a lot of talk he might break camp with the White Sox. He was just traded in the Dylan Cease trade. He's been the only one I've heard potentially making the roster. If we're talking about like breakout minor league pitchers, Landon Marotis of the Toronto Blue Jays 2023 draft auto in there. He's been getting a lot of buzz. I really like him. I saw some video of him yesterday pitch against high A and double A, and he's looking nasty.
All right. And then last question, what is your prediction for Ellie De La Cruz this year? He's going to be the biggest hyped up rookie card releasing in 2024 products. For my money, I'm going Evan Carter every day of the week, as I assume you are too. But what are your predictions for him this season? Does he really break out in a way that people will be like, you know, excited about him every day of the week? Or is it going to be that one big highlight here or there like we saw last year?
Well, man, a couple weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, I think he breaks out this year, but that was before all these injuries to everyone around him. Now with potentially no Matt McClain for a while, you got no Jake Fraley. Like, you got a lot of big bats in that lineup, out of that lineup with injuries. People are become more hyper focused on how he performs and like performs early. So I think that we might see a point where he gets like the magnifying glass on him so much that the pressure's overwhelming. So I would say he probably ends the year probably 255 average, but he definitely is like 20 plus home runs. I still think strikeouts are going to be a problem for him, but I don't think this is the year we see Ellie blow up. I think that's definitely next year.
Got it. So maybe some people who are looking after his cards, they either one, wait to buy some singles until later in the season, or two, buckle your seatbelt if you've got a lot of his cards and enjoy the ride possibly. All right, Vinny, man, thanks so much for joining. I appreciate your insight and takes always. I'm sure that people appreciate it here too. And I know a lot of people are chattering in the comments today, and I thank everyone for dropping some comments too. Any last thing here to end it off with before you head out?
Not much. I'm finishing up some rankings on my Twitter. We have minor league baseball starting this week, which I'll be hyper tuned into AAA, but just, you know, any prospect questions, stuff like that, just my DMs are open on both Twitter, Instagram. You know, if you have a question, I'm always free.
Awesome, Vinny. Well, appreciate you, man. As always, down on the farm, make sure you give me a follow on Instagram and Twitter, and we'll catch you on another time. I'm sure you'll be back here as the season starts, and we look forward to talking to you about the performances and where their cards are going from there.
All right. It was done.
Thank you, Vinny.
Good night, Julian. Have a good night, Aaron.
See you, man.
Hi, Vinny.
See ya. Always fun to have Vinny in the house breaking down prospects. He does it.
I don't know how he knows that much stuff. It's not possible to fit that much information in your brain.
Yeah, his brain's definitely jam-packed with the baseball. But there was a comment earlier I need to point out, and it's from SCP-7. I forgot to kind of pull it up as we're going through that. But he says, the PSA 6 Gretzky rookie card in today's auction is my card. I pack pulled it and have owned it for 45 years. Check that out. SCP-7 right there. He's got his PSA 6 in the auction. Good luck tonight, Vinny. Gretzky's always seemed to do very well and pulling some big bucks. And it's just crazy. Did I say Vinny? I meant SCP-7. It's just really, really crazy to see a card you pulled 45 years ago end up here in auction. So good luck, and thank you for sharing it, man. Hope you do well. Pretty crazy.
That's a cool story right there.
Yeah, I know, right? Really.
Even
wild.
If it's a PSA 6, keeping it for that long, and I still feel like that's a really solid grade for 45 years.
Right. So, hey, I don't know if anyone else is still seeing this, but, you know, I'm seeing, like, the timer go. It sort of shows 2 minutes right now, but then it switches to 7 minutes. So the extended bidding actually ends at 9:30 Central Time, the first window. So get in your bids now. I don't think it ends in 7 minutes. It ends in, like, 2 minutes. I don't want anyone to miss out on any cards that they were looking to bid on. But Julian, pretty soon we're going to be jumping to your Who Be Buying segment. And before doing that, well, I want to point out this Topps Now Ohtani offseason card with his dog. This is kind of giving me like, you know, like when they do like those look back, like flashback videos to like times before criminals like get found. It's like this is like the image of, okay, I'm not saying anything.
And then the photo turns gray.
Yes. Yeah, this is like the image of Ohtani where it's like photos before bad things happen type of thing. Is the one with this dog.
I could see that.
Just a thought I had earlier today. Such a crazy story though, man. I keep on reading stuff about it. I keep on trying to learn more about it. The story has switched four times. Supposedly the interpreter never went to the college he said he went to, UC Riverside or something like that. He never went there. The school said they have no record of ever being in attendance there. So I don't know, man. Just really
here's
wild.
Here's the crazy thing is with a player like Ohtani and any organization where you're shelling that much money, how do you not do your due diligence and do research on these guys? You can't just take Shohei's word for it. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. If anything, it's kind of made me nervous just because, like, there's these players you could have asked me and I would have been like, no, there's no way they ever get into a scandal. And Shohei was probably at the top of that list.
Yeah, just like, quiet guy goes out there, plays ball, like, dominates, yeah. Like
you could, I don't know. It's just like, you never know what could happen. And it's really unfortunate for people who own high-end Shohei cards if something were to happen. But
yeah, and obviously that he's still playing, like he's still playing baseball. He played through that series after even the news broke.
And so there's by no means is anything going to happen to him. I'm just saying in the scenario that like he did do something really wrong, that is just really unfortunate.
Pappy says he'd be fire selling his Ohtani. Yeah, I mean, it's just all the facts adding up is a really, really, really weird situation. But remember, everyone, we are into the next extended bidding window at this moment. Hopefully, you all can check out the cards you might want to grab and start bidding them if you would like. That Wyatt link for Digis and for 1020 here, Sapphire Auto. And there's a host of other incredible baseball cards ending, some of which already did end. And I'm trying to grab a giveaway for tonight already. I'm on top of it early. Julian, in case you were wondering, you might have watched, but no, I did not guess the person right last week. I thought I was going to do it when you were gone. I thought it'd be super funny, but no, I didn't get it.
You have too much faith in yourself.
Yes, Vinny, I forgot to bring that one up. Not just a Jefferson Caro super fractor. There was like a bunch of Caro cards all at one time, including a super, which already ended here. Made me kind of want to buy it, but yeah. Oh,
what did the super go for?
It ended at $870.
$870?
Yeah, I probably should have been on that, huh?
Yeah. I didn't even mark it because I assumed it was gonna go for a crazy amount.
Yeah, I probably should have thrown a little bit on that guy. Someone decided to sell their entire Caro high-end collection all at one time.
Interesting time.
Yeah, I mean he's a great player, but just all of them at one time is definitely interesting. All right, Julian, let's get on with some Who Be Buying here.
All right. Everyone's favorite segment is back. Yes, don't worry.
It's been a minute. Come on. Let's get it going.
Okay. I'm trying to pull up my favorites list. Okay. We've got – what do we start out with? We'll start out with a Josh Allen Prism-based PSA 10. Before you get look it up, what do we think it sold for?
It already sold?
Yes.
I don't know, like $300.
$372 for a base of Josh Allen. Man, continue to be blown away by these base PSA 10 prices. And it's just one step further because it's Josh Allen, who really didn't do anything like super special this past season. If it was like a Patrick Mahomes, I'd still think it's crazy. But like, I don't know, man. Still baffles me. So that one for sure, when you're looking through cards that are over $100 and pops up, is one that is quite shocking.
I mean, to me, what the crazy thing is that, you know, you kind of look at pricing and you look at when COVID hit and the NBA season suspended and you try to think about like, well, what's the pricing like today versus then? Because a lot of stuff in regards has a little bit pulled back to that point. If you go and look at Josh Allen's PSA 10 Prism base price for March of 2020, it was an $89 card. And that was when the population was probably like 100 to 200 cards. It's not a PSA 10 pop 2000. It's a $372 card still, which is actually really, really crazy to me. J17 only sets records, but what does Julian know? TBH. Uh-oh, we have a Bills fan that's salty in the chat. Maybe he sets records.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying, like, it wasn't anything super special, which you can expect from Josh Allen, because I think everyone knows he has that potential.
Well, I was going to say sets records for turning the ball over.
Yeah, not great. You heard Tom. That was Aaron, not me.
That's no, I'm just giving him a hard time. Julian's trying not to dig himself into a further hole.
Yeah, true. All right. Next up, let's go with a Justin Fields 2021 Panini One RPA out of 35. Sold. I think it sold.
I'm looking. There it is.
Okay. The Steelers have come out and said that he's not going to start. Like, there's 0% chance that he starts. What are we seeing here, guys? I'm not completely sure. I've been very vocal about my Justin Fields opinions, even when he was on the Bears. But do people really – like, Russell Wilson had a really solid year. I don't understand why people would think that he's, like, washed up. It was like they lost in spite of him. Because, like, he was, like, the only thing that they really had going for them. But, yeah, I don't think – well, Real Music thinks he's going to be a starter, but I don't see any way that Justin Fields takes over unless Russell Wilson gets seriously injured.
So, yeah, Fields could take over with injury. Wilson played well last year with the Broncos, despite them just being kind of a joke of a franchise, and he got benched for no reason that of his actual playing. Pappy, what? Do you mean he'll start next year? There's no way he's starting this year. Fields is not starting this year with Russell Wilson there, especially with them having Wilson on a $1 million contract. But as for – I see you're – the thing about Fields, though, is that for him to become the starter in Pittsburgh, they need to be very confident in what they see from him in practice because his extension's up. Okay, no one's going to commit to a huge extension for him unless – they're legitimately, you know, interested in him being their quarterback of the future with the money he's going to try to demand. Pappy says he's going to put his bank account on Fields starting next year. Dude, I definitely think you should go and place a bet on that if you do actually think that, because I don't think that many people think it's possible. So you'll probably get some.
Wow.
You'll probably get
hot
some
takes.
You'll probably get some absolutely crazy odds on that for doing that. So you could turn into like a multimillionaire overnight if you really wanted to. Dude, Wilson was not.
I can't. I'm not shouting. I'm not like chirping Pat B, but I think a lot of people only saw the Broncos record. Like, he had like a really good season.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering from where they were the year before that, he put up 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in 15 games starting. Could it have been better? Yes. Are the Broncos a complete joke? Yes. Will he do better in Pittsburgh with more weapons and a better team and defense? Probably. You know, like that's just where I am.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get a couple more in. We have one. This is a hot take, but there's a Jude Bellingham 2020 Topps Chrome carbon fiber, red carbon fiber. And I love Jude's player. Cards are pretty hot. But me personally, it's also sold. But I'm not a fan of cards that are not numbered and going for this amount of money. I'd like to hear what everybody else has to say. I know there was also an Orange Bubbles in this auction that sold as well, just for a little bit less, both of which are not numbered. I can't really wrap my head around it. I don't think I'd ever buy a card, because then people are like, oh, but it's like this number of copies were made, but I don't know if that stuff's ever confirmed. I think it's a lot of money for a soccer player that's not numbered. It kind of ties into the 70th like parallel in 2020 Chrome F1, which has like become less and less favorable in my eyes. So that was just kind of what I was thinking.
Okay, we got to backtrack before talking about this Jude a little bit more. a lot of people are going off in the comments. I have to totally agree here with Golden State Warriors 5. The Bears got a 6th-round pick for him. A 6th-round pick. No one else is willing to trade more than a 6th-round pick. The only way it turns into a 4th is based on playing time. So why would they also want to give up a 4th-round pick to play him also, unless they think that they're going to win the Super Bowl? There's no reason for the Steelers to play him. They're going to have, in my opinion, he will be there to sit. And if he wants to learn from Russ, but you know, really get to know the team and figure out if they want to sign him to some type of extension.
I mean, for you to come out and say we've traded for this guy, but there's no shot he's not starting the season, like right out the gate, I think says as much as you need to know.
Yeah, and like if Wilson is just bad and he's bad and they want to give Fields a shot, then it happens. But first, I don't think there's any way that Fields starts for them to start the season. And at first, I think that's what you meant, Pat. But also at the same time, it's like the Broncos are an absolute clown organization. Okay, they have done a lot of stuff that is absolutely ridiculous these last couple of years, and they aren't developing players well. They made the trade for him in the first place, which was a massive overpay, and I don't know how we can blame Russ for that. And I don't really understand, like, you know, they signed him to the contract, and yeah, they're paying $37 million so they can move on and try to figure out what they're going to do next. They're the ones that benched him last year when they had a shot to make the playoffs. I mean, it's just kind of ridiculous all the way around. We'll see though.
All right. And now I always have to leave one.
Wait. Before jumping ahead though, back to your Jude comments here. I've never been a fan of this set. Not for soccer, not for baseball, not for F1. Absolutely terrible design. It's one of the worst designs I've ever seen on a flagship set, and everyone agrees with it. You can barely read the name. The borders are hideous. It's a really bad design. And then the parallels that look whack are even worse on top of it. And I'm just really, I guess, shocked along with you, Julian, because you can spend $600 and get a gold out of 50 Merlin PSA 9 for probably less than that, honestly. I think that's a way better card. Way better looking. Gold out of 50. Less money. Sign me up for that amount of money, you know?
I agree.
I mean, we already know that the population's like, I understand that someone can maybe crack and regrade it, but it's around 10 to 15 for a PSA 9 to 10 alone. You know, it's not like that's out of 5 or anything like that. All right, you can move on.
All right, I said I always have to leave one for one of the ugliest cards I see in the auction. So which one do I choose? I have multiple.
Pat, I think in the end, all of us are just throwing out opinions. So I agree with you, man. I'm not telling you that you're necessarily wrong, and I might be wrong as well. But I think both of us can just share opinions. And
okay, we'll go with
have a good chat.
Pat, I respect that because like everyone has their own opinion. So like we like the conversation. We encourage it. Fact. We're not like Skip Bayless, who's going to attack you for your comments. And it's my turn. So the Michael Jordan 2021 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions Pink. I love Michael Jordan, so this hurts me to put him in this category, but the card, it's not it, man.
That did already end?
Yeah.
I mean, it's type in. Oops. Oh, shucks. I'll get to your comment, Jake, here in a second. Oh my gosh, this.
Yeah,
bro. Yeah. What am I looking at?
No, exactly, man. It's just I don't know what the design or what it's supposed to be looking like in the background. Yeah,
Jim. Man, it's just... Jim, you said that Jordan Love was like a trash quarterback, and here we are, 4,000 yards, 3 touchdowns, one season as starter.
Yeah, okay, we should clarify if it's like statistically wrong, like it's just like blatantly wrong, like then. You can kind of like get at like saying that the 49ers have been amazing for the past 10 years when they finish with 2 wins in a season. Now that's a little different, but yes, going back to this Michael Jordan, not a good card, not a fan. It's on the ugly list for me. I don't know about you, Aaron, but I'm assuming you're in the same category.
Michael Jordan is me reading Jim's comments about Jordan Love being bad. You did say that Jordan Love was not good. And you also did say that the Niners were really good for like 10 straight years. unless my eyeballs deceived ourselves.
No, there's no way both of us got that wrong.
I know. Okay, yeah, but during the beginning of the season, you were trying to cook me every week that Jordan Love wasn't good. That's all I'm saying. I know you finally came around to admitting it, but I was just saying. Yeah, Tom, I'm not saying that he's the best quarterback in the NFL, but you definitely can't call him bad. Now, we can call a guy that's traded for a sixth-round pick bad and a guy that threw like 50% accuracy or something like that.
True. I concur.
I don't think Fields was at 50%, but it wasn't good.
There were some Fields plays that were pretty bad.
Ooh, there's an article 5 hours ago on Mike Tomlin explaining Steelers' 2024 quarterback plans after acquiring both of the guys. All right. We'll see. He says, when it's time to compete, Justin will be given an opportunity and will allow those guys to sort themselves out.
Happy, do you think Russ is always, like, have you always just not been a fan, or do you think he's just, like, kind of washed now?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that, too. I thought Russ was great. He was MVP candidate for, he was, like, you know, seemed to be in the MVP conversation for many years in a row.
Yeah. And I'm assuming Pat is along those lines, where he just thinks he doesn't have it anymore, unless it's a different opinion, which could possibly happen.
All right, moving on to some more exciting things here.
There might be a newsletter written on this card, but keep going.
I have to get back to Jake's comment. He says, Aaron, do you think the first-year Galactics will hold up over the years, or is Revolution too much of a second tier? No. Jake, I think that they will, man. Those first-year Galactics were so short print. Those base set Galactics are so rare. You look at the top players, and it's about one every couple of years that one actually comes up for sale, unless you find one at a card show in someone's collection. They're extremely rare. Depending on the player, should hold very good value, should always be sought after. I would avoid any of the newer Galactics, newer year Revolutions. They printed those way higher print, so there's just a lot more of them. But, yes, sorry for taking so long to get back to your comment. Yes, I do like them a lot. Okay, now we had Jim or SCP-7 say that I think he probably bought that. Well, Benoit Olivier Giroux, is that how I'm taking that? If I was wrong, I'm wrong.
Giroux!
Congrats on your buy. Although that might not be Giroux, because that's not the same guy I was thinking of.
Aaron's getting flashbacks to the glory days.
Well, no, there's a hockey player named Claude Giroux, so the Flyers guy. But Carlos Sainz, the second race winner, non-Red Bull driver in the last two seasons, and himself was both of those two drivers. Same driver, two different race wins. 1 week after, or 2 weeks after getting his appendix removed. And what a performance from him with Max's car. Brakes exploding. I have to give Julian some props. He texted me like 5 minutes before the race begins. He's like, Aaron, I have a vision or something. He's like, Max is going to like crash out of the race and land a podium, and both things happened.
I was feeling it. I was so hyped about that. And I mean, the amount of memes I've seen about like F1 fans, everyone, I can guarantee 98 or 99% of F1 fans, the second his car started flaming, did the little meme where they're like sitting up in their chair. Like, it was so exciting that it was like a non-Max, like 20-second lead in a race. And Carlos, he destroyed everybody. And I feel good for him. It's funny because he's still looking for a job, technically. Well, there's no doubts he'll find a position. He's just proven everybody wrong. I mean, well, not proven everybody wrong, but like he's shown that he deserves a top seat. He's a fantastic driver. And like to do that at 2 weeks after having major surgery, I mean, I would not be surprised if all the other drivers are looking to get their appendix removed at this point. But yeah, Carlos Sainz, our savior, winning twice so we can see someone else on the podium.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I feel like it's always been people talking, Charles 1, Carlos 2. My dad's always been like, hey, maybe they're like pretty even drivers, and people just have got their fandoms, you know, that kind of drive that. And I would have to say that unless Charles is just getting sabotaged for whatever reason, which he's probably not, given that they signed him to a long-term extension, Carlos is definitely worthy of driving for a top team. If that's Mercedes, if that's the second Red Bull seat, whatever that might be, I hope he's in one of those positions and he deserves it. You know, as much as I'd love to see Gasly not an Alpine.
Although this was a major dub for Gasly finishing like 13th, was it? I think it was. That's what he finished.
Yeah, I know.
Which like something you could have told me last season and be like, why are you happy that he finished 13th? But like, oh my gosh, that car is terrible.
It's so bad, man. I feel so bad for him. This is now like years and years in a row of just like bad luck and bad cars and, you know. But
yeah, like Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, like, come
yeah,
on. So what are you doing?
Yeah, like why do they have to come along? They ruined it all. But either way, you know, super cool card here. This is from last year's Dynasty. And this year's Dynasty looks a lot better than last year's and the year before that. The second best looking Dynasty definitely was this year. I'm just not a fan of those red lines on the right side of the card with the red one of one logo. I mean, it's really hard to see that stuff, but man, he's been great. Even ever since last year, he's every single week in, week out, and it feels like go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the last sale of this exact card was June 23rd or June 18th, 2023 for $1,335.
Really?
Yes.
A little boosty. Are you doing the newsletter of this card?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Good deal. A little boost to his market. Very nice. Very nice.
Which, I mean, $1,335 for that card seems pretty cheap. It's a sick patch auto. And yeah, I think the narrative's kind of changed that now people are believing that they're both amazing drivers. And man, he's just a really humble guy and he's hilarious. So I'm hoping – I would love to see him in a Red Bull car. But, like, at the same time, do I think they'd make an even fight between him and Max? No. Like, then it leaves them, like, can Mercedes – Mercedes' car is also absolute trash.
Yeah, but they're booty, bro. I mean, come on, man. It's terrible watching them.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because there's not many positions – at least right now I could see that he'd be in a car as competitive as a Ferrari. But who knows? Maybe Aston Martin somehow – does something crazy next year and he goes there, but I'm hoping the best for him.
Definitely. And speaking about Prism Base and craziness, we have a raw Wemby, a raw Victor Wembanyama rookie card, which there are going to be hundreds of thousands of these very likely all scattered around the market at $130 with 4 minutes left in this bidding window. Pretty crazy to see Wemby's cards just pulling that much dough constantly. And base rookie cards as well, over $100 for raw, which is wild to me. But they're there. And what does everyone think about that? Let us know. And we have got a giveaway tonight, although Julian and his closed-off movie viewing is probably not even going to know what this is. We've got a Sandlot Squints PSA 9 from 2018 Topps Archives. Will be given away tonight. Julian, have you ever seen Sandlot?
No, but I know what it is. At least, like I've actually heard of it, and like I know it's a legendary movie. I've just never seen it.
Okay,
Fiorina also just scored. So
nice, 2-0, 2-0. So we're gonna give this away tonight, and I actually have some fond memories of this set. So they included this in 2018 Topps Archives, and back in 2018, right before I went off to my junior year of college, I'd rip a bunch of these blaster boxes they released at Target. And I actually ended up pulling a Ham Porter silver auto out of 99 out of this set, which was a very difficult pull to pull the Sandlot autographs out of a blaster box. Absolutely crazy that I pulled that card. I ended up selling it for, I think, like multiple hundreds of dollars back then. But let's see what it would do now. It looks like that. Wow, I really probably should have held that. A base auto sold for $600 in November, and a silver was about $600 as well, probably higher than that, honestly, if the base is $600. But yeah, absolutely crazy that these things pull that much money, the autos from the set. But this really cool card, and this was a base insert set in there as well, or an SP insert set, has a Sandlot stamped. So we're going to give this away tonight, everyone.
All I've got to say is that if this photo was framed in your parents' house, I would 100% think that was you as a kid. Like, there's the glasses, and like, it looks like you.
That's kind of funny. I never really thought about that.
That literally is like you playing youth league baseball.
That's pretty funny. I never wore glasses until like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 years ago is a stretch. It's more like 10 years ago or something like that. But
Did I say five?
No, I said five. It was like 5 years. Oh. I was like 5 years ago. I was probably in college.
You were born in the 1900s. So I guess like it's probably like 30.
Your number one joke.
20 to 30.
But yeah, really cool card. So I hope someone enjoys that tonight. We'll have that being given away live on the show towards the end. So stick around for the next 10 minutes or so, and we'll get the giveaway going. Julian, anything else that you noticed tonight that was selling?
Let's see. I had a nice long list. There was a super sweet Mike Trout Dynasty 101.
Oh, was that
the SGC 2017? One? Yeah. Still for cheaper than I thought it should. You might have a different opinion, but it was a super sick card with a nice patch.
That actually seems like I thought it wouldn't have sold for that much. You actually can find a decent amount of like really cool Dynasty 101s, and the autograph isn't that clean on that card. And it's like an authentic patch from like an older MLB jersey. I think most people normally want to see something that's got the MLB logo in it, or like a Nike logo in it, which they weren't doing Nike logos back then. They had Majestic logos. But yeah, I mean, honestly, seems like a pretty healthy price, all things considered, in my opinion. I actually, I think I showed this last week, but I got the Logo Man Yelich back there, and Dynasty is one of my favorite sets ever. And I can't wait for Dynasty Soccer. Dynasty F1 is amazing. It's just like Topps Dynasty is beautiful all the way around. And yeah, I did see that Deshaun Watson gold was still going. There it is. Oh, man. Well, you could have had the Trout. Or you could have had this. Let's be honest. This year right now for Deshaun Watson, specifically for his card market, who knows what happens here with him in the NFL, is like so make or break, dude. Like, you look at his stats, man, and everything else that happened with him off the field is one thing. 2022, games played, 6. Okay, obviously he's suspended for some of that. But 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. 2023, games played, 6. 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Literally, he had like mirroring seasons, back-to-back years, both terrible. I know he was hurt last year. I know the year before, whatever happened, suspended, maybe hurt for a little bit. Regardless of the fact, it's make-or-break year for him. He didn't even play in 2021. We're now 4 years removed from him from having over 4,000 yards and over 30 touchdowns. And we're still seeing multi-$1,000 sales on a weekly, monthly basis.
Yeah. That trade and contract signing was egregious. Like, that's up there with some of the craziest things I've ever seen. And that's coming from someone who's a fan of a team that drafted a quarterback, traded up to draft a quarterback, and then traded him away for a pocket change.
Yeah, I mean, trading 3 first-round picks and signing him to, like, the largest guaranteed money contract in NFL history at that time was a terrible decision. Terrible. So Pappy says, agree with you there, and as a Clemson alum, if that helps or hurts my cred, guy might be washed. It definitely helps your cred if you're speaking bad about Watson, since I'm sure his Clemson fans are some of maybe the only remaining fans of him at this point. But, yeah, many other cards to be had for $5,250.
Yeah, and there's another card I saved. I need to do a little bit more research on it to see how far it's dropped. But a Kenny Pickett Immaculate RPA out of 99, PSA 9, sold for $89. You can see the all-time high on that.
Mike Jung said, no pocket change, a half a bag of Funyuns. I think he's a Niners fan too.
Yeah, true.
So you're talking about this one right here, the PSA 9?
Yeah.
$88?
Yeah.
Dude, there's no question these were 500 plus easily. Easily.
I would say more than that.
Probably like $1,000.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now. I can't not look. I have to look. Let's see here. I'm getting there. The first one that sold did 1,400, probably like out of release. And then the team is settling around like $700, $800. So yeah, pretty crazy.
A little bit of a drop, slight drop.
Just a tad. And even like a big Steelers logo patch sold for $360.
Oh my. Wow.
So he's
like, at that point with that card, do I think Kenny Pickett's going to do anything like huge at some point in the next couple of years? No. But at that point for like $88, I'd rather just hold on to it and like say he gets thrust in the starting position for a week, then I'd sell it. That's kind of like where my mind would be at.
You'd know that it'd go up to $200 instantly too.
Yeah.
The thing about Pickett is that it wasn't like he got traded to the Seahawks. Like, who got traded to the Seahawks again? I forgot.
Sam Howell?
Yeah, Sam Howell.
There's like so many QB moves that I still haven't like wrapped my head around it.
I know. It's not like he got traded to the Seahawks where there's like a slight chance for an opportunity at some point if Geno Smith doesn't work out and if they don't draft someone different next year. He got traded to the Eagles where, like, I'm not a huge Jalen Hurts fan, but Kenny Pickett surely isn't starting over Jalen Hurts, you know? And also, Jim, actually, we can agree with Jim on something. He says Daniel Jones will be the next to fall off a cliff. 100% agree. Why is that dude still relevant? I don't know. He's been hurt. He's been bad. And the Giants need to go elsewhere to have any sort of chance to turn their team around. That's just how I feel.
I agree. Another ridiculous contract given to a guy that had one solid year, decent year.
Dude, decent.
And I remember we had our little debate about this on PWCC whenever, like, 5-6 months ago before the season started, 7-8 months ago, and we put that clip on Instagram and some people were flaming us because they're like, Daniel Jones has potential.
No, that was easily one of our best calls, I think. And Daniel Jones, even his good year, was 15 touchdowns and 3,200 yards. Like, what? $45 million contract for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. Not at all.
Not sure about that one.
Not at all. But I just looked up, actually, Daniel Jones on Google, and Brian Dabble or whatever said that Jones is their starting quarterback ahead of the NFL draft, but they definitely should be looking elsewhere soon.
What's his name? The one who's like Tommy DeVito? Is that his name? No, that's an actor. Something DeVito.
It is Tommy DeVito. It is Tommy DeVito. You're thinking of Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
Nah, it is Tommy DeVito. All right, everyone, we're at the one-minute windows, which means I'm going to get this giveaway started here. Make sure to drop your number ones in the chat. I'll give you all like 4 minutes, so 10:04 Central Time to get your number ones in. And, make sure to join it because it's a pretty fun one there with the Sandlot card. So hopefully you all enjoy that giveaway, but you all have got about 4 minutes to join there. And what do we got? We got 2-0, Julian, in this USA game.
Yeah, 87th minute. I actually closed the tab because I think it's over.
It's done for sure. Money, W.
Which hurts again. Me because now everybody's going to be like, oh, maybe Greg's got potential. But we're beating, like, these teams that we should be killing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we shouldn't ever.
Oh, man. It's just, yeah. so much potential. So much potential.
Right. Definitely. Y'all got like 3 more minutes to join, so make sure to get that entries in there. And we got a really cool, although I'm not 100% sure on this design. Normally when you see letters and like definitive and stuff, and they leave a full rectangle window open for said letter, I am not a fan of this third die cut of Trout covering part of the T. I do really love letter patches like this and nameplates and such, but that one to me is a missed design there, given that that would cover most letters, the start of it. But I have a yellow trim definitive, not that year, but I just said it to get graded. And, oh, of course, look who's there, Julian, on the screen. and, yeah, Pat, that Tyler Adams goal was absolutely spectacular.
Pulled out the boomstick is what I'd say.
Yeah, a golazo for sure, man. That was sweet. Super nice Ovechkin Ice Premier's patch auto rookie out of 10 ended tonight. Big time Alexander Ovechkin card. And even his Ice Premier's rookie as well. Wow, a couple 10 to 15K of OVs ended tonight. This Nathan MacKinnon is so ridiculously rare. These Young Guns high glosses. Only two of these sold before this, I believe. The last one was a Raw for $2,500, and the one before that was in release year 2014. It got $700, just sold for $8,700 here. McKinnon, high gloss, second in points this year in the NHL. Churio ended at 8.7K. The Bowman Chrome Gold Auto. A couple big Jaylen Brown cards in here ended tonight. Yeah, let's get back to the top. I'm not sure how much. It's getting pretty close to ending here. And also the giveaway will be closing in a little bit. Julian, just after you watching the Badgers so closely this season, what do you think our like number one need is in the portal or in recruiting?
A dominant big man. I think all of the best teams in the country have that guy that is aggressive in the paint, super hard to guard. Now, Stephen Crowell, I love him. And there were times he was really aggressive. But, like, besides him, like, Nolan Winter will become that guy, but he's young. I just don't think we have that guy that can knock, like, lock down one of the other defenders and then also, like, just destroy people in the paint. I think that's a big one for sure. Out of everything, I think that's probably our biggest one because, like, against James Madison, I was saying just, like, get into the post and just constantly just throw him the ball because that was the only thing that was working. Like, just getting in the post, I honestly just wanted us to put Nolan Winter and Stephen Crowell in at the same time, put them both down low, give them the ball. Like, if we had that part of our game, I think there would be very few people that could stop us. We relied too heavily on our three-point shooting and our jump shots, and when that didn't go for us, like, we didn't have anything else to turn to.
Yeah, we definitely you actually hit the nail on the head. My number one want is – a big guy, not only a big guy that's dominant, but a big guy that brings like serious aggression. Like Stephen Crowell had a really good end of the season after having a really shaky middle of the season and good start to the season. But we need that guy who will like inflict fear into these other people, in these other teams. You know, we don't have that right now. And we didn't have that at the end of the season. We didn't have the aggression that's needed to win in March. And you're right. You look at the teams that are winning. It's not even the best teams in the nation. It's all of the teams that are winning the tournament have got a dominant big guy, someone who they can play inside out.
And I'd say, like, the aggressive part is the key to me. Stephen Crowell's a very good player, but I low-key, like, just want a guy that, like, you don't want to mess with him. Like, we'll get teed up and we'll get in your face. Like,
so Bobby Portis.
Not dirty. Like, I'm saying
he's
like,
not dirty. He's not dirty.
I'm talking not dirty. I'm talking a guy that, like, an enforcer. So, like,
he is an enforcer. He's not dirty.
Bobby's dirty.
He's not dirty.
Bobby's over the top. I'm talking someone that'll set the tone. That's what I want.
You don't understand is that Bobby does set the tone. He won the championship because we brought that dog in.
He does. He's that's part of it, but he's also just like, stupid at times is what he does.
Sometimes he can get a little over the top, but guess what?
That's a little over the top.
Winning basketball.
He broke Mirotić's face.
Go read the story. Mirotić is the dude. There's a reason why they got rid of Mirotić and kept Bobby.
They got rid of both of them. You can't.
They got rid of Mirotić first, and then they got rid of Bobby after that.
Bobby is dirty. Bobby's just like that's
okay.
Too much.
Well,
that's
too much. I'm not even playing with what the comment just happened was. We're not even going there.
I agree,
no,
Jim.
No, stop.
I agree, Jim. My guy.
That is bogus. Okay. Also, I think we do need to get someone who's a knockdown three-point shooter, man. That's the real big thing here in the tournament. You have someone that's huge and can dominate the inside paint. You have someone that can hit down threes when they're open. Like, that's exactly what you need to – and then you need guards that can create and get those guys open, which I honestly loved how Chucky played other than the last game. He was way too timid the last game of the season, but it's hard when your entire team is just getting blown out. You know, like, it's really hard to kind of do that.
I'm super excited about Daniel Freitag. I think that's how you say his name.
Freitag.
In the championship game, they just won state, and he dropped, I think, 33 points.
No, he's an absolute stud, and he went to the school that eliminated me in our playoff run back in high school, Breck High School in Minnesota. Always have a disdain for them. Just kidding. David Roddy, who plays for the Phoenix Suns, I played against when he's a freshman and he was unstoppable. Okay, so
thank you. Draymond is spirited. Bobby's dirty.
No, that's the exact opposite. There's one page here remaining, Julian. So pick your card right now, dude. Pick your card. I'm going with this. I'm going with the Ricky Waters or Waiters Waters, however you say his name. Refractor PSA 10.
I'm gonna go with the egg.
The egg? Oh, you were asking me about that card, dude.
I have to go with the egg. I think it's about to get knocked out right now, but like I have to go with the egg.
Okay, in the interim, let's get this giveaway going here, everyone, for the Sandlot insert. Good luck. I got to get this thing right. We got 21 names. I got good odds. And the third and final one we are about to click, I'm taking TB Incognito. I think he won not too long ago, but I'm going with TB Incognito again.
I'll go with Real Music. I know he won recently, but...
How did I not pick SCP? It was the writing on the wall with the Gretzky ending tonight. SCP-7, congratulations on your archives, the Sandlot card. I hope you like that thing, and I'll get it transferred over to you. Just make sure that you email info@slabsox.com with your identity key or PWCC identity key. You find it by going to the preferences. Oops. By going to the preferences.
Hank, yeah. I agree. Raymond is all street. Raymond Felton. That team is all for the street.
My card's kicked out. He just called you
Music.
He just called you Jules.
Yeah, respect.
your egg is still moving along, but congrats to Orista SCP-7.
What did you just call me?
What, me?
Yeah, what did you just call me?
I don't know. What did I say?
You called me an egg.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Dude, there's so many Pokemon. Oh, my.
It's all the same card. No, it's not. But
I know. You're welcome. You're welcome. No problem.
Real Music, I had to go with you. You won a few, so like I felt pretty good about that.
Hank is feeling personally attacked by you right now.
Raymond Felton. He doesn't even know who that is. That dude was really for the street.
I'm surprised that you know who he is.
Come on now, Raymond Felton, goat.
Yeah, I know, but your sports fandom started in 2014. So
no, but like I'd say for basketball, it's been longer. Football,
okay, all right.
Like I followed the 49ers pretty closely, but like my overall knowledge of like players in the NFL wasn't as good. NBA was probably like when we have you ever played that? No, you probably haven't because it came out after you were in school, but like when I'm in class, I play like that NBA like grid where it's like played for the Suns and the Bulls.
Yes.
Dude,
yes.
My knowledge is impeccable on that with guys because I've been watching for so long.
Look at that, Julian, a true 1900s.
Okay. NBA not that watcher. Far. Not that far. I'm saying like the extent of it is early 2000s.
Hey, the egg is kind of pushing along. There's only 12 of those. There's only 12 PSA 10 gold hotbox copies of that.
I say you buy it.
No, absolutely not.
Vote in the chat. Raise my hand for the egg on the wall for the Slapstocks HQ.
I did get a couple dubs though tonight. Donovan Edwards on card auto. The future of football here. Michigan's going to take a step back this year, but I do think that Donovan Edwards.
Oh my gosh, that Dante.
Yeah, I know. I do think that Diamond Edwards is going to be one of their bigger pieces this year, considering he's really, 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 really good. I actually think he's better than Blake Corman. He's returning. They're not going to be as good, but he will put up some huge stats, I think, as they're going to want to run the ball a ton. I got the Dante Moore Green here of 99 for $25, and I got the Judkins, who just transferred to Ohio State. Very excited. Not personally to watch Ohio State, but about the Bowman U market around these guys that transferred to Ohio State, because that team is loaded. If Ohio State doesn't make the college football playoff either final or semifinal this year, given that it's expanding, if they don't make the final four of the college football playoff, it's an embarrassment. That team is loaded top to bottom. Absolutely loaded.
Did you get the Bo Nix?
No, I lost it like $75. I wish I bid a little bit more on it, but
got it.
Yeah.
I will say also, I don't know if you heard this, but it was super bizarre. The running backs coach of Ohio State moved to Michigan. Like, it was just like a parallel move. Like, he didn't even – it's not an upgrade in his position. Like, it's the exact same position, and he's at Michigan. I'm like, I don't know why you'd make that move, and that would make people, like, really dislike you. But who knows? That might help the Michigan guys.
I couldn't understand that move, considering Ohio State is way on the way up, and Michigan right now is on the way down. They won a national title unless they walked in with massive money bags that Ohio State wasn't offering. I don't understand why you'd make that move at all.
I don't know. As a running back coach, I don't think – I wouldn't expect it to be like a ridiculous amount of money. So,
well, not to mention that Ohio State probably has the best running back room in the entire country now between Tre'Davion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, I got a bid.
As I say, you're still rolling, dude. You're still rolling.
Rolling like an egg, baby.
Oh, my God. Dude comes back after a one-week absence and thinks he's on fire. Literally, Julian, you're up. This is like the fight where it's like, would you rather
it
fight
is.
like 100 ducks or something like that, or whatever would they say? You know, this
sure. It's like it's like one gorilla-sized duck or like 100 duck-sized gorillas.
Yeah, well, you're the one size, I don't know, whatever. You're just, you
know, it's a lot to say, but yes, it's where it's like the same card, but no, it's not.
Yeah, this feels like infected in
territory. Underdog, baby. Also, we got two buys for the egg, so if we get one more buy in the comments, Aaron will buy it.
I'm not buying. I'm not spending two. Oh, he's done. He's done. Gone forever. Well, the Pokemon reigns supreme here. You literally could have picked at it. There's so many random ones ending there. Really good auction overall. A crazy 1977 Star Wars box, 15 cents on the outside of it. Sells for $11,700. That's a wild sale right there. I see you, Julian, trying to sneak that comment in. But yeah, that was super fun tonight. Julian, it's good to have you back. I'm glad we had Vinny here as well. Good episode overall. And anything else, bro?
Nothing else. I got nothing.
Nothing else. All right. Well, it looks like that Houston and Texas A&M are coming down to the wire, although it doesn't look like they're going to be able to pull it off the upset. But nothing else, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy your week. And we'll see you all back here next week for Slapsack Sundays, which is going to be post-opening day. So hopefully we got some baseball stats to talk about and maybe some trenders going into the first month of the season. Thanks, everyone, for watching, and see you all in the next episode.